most interesting person you've ever worked with, apart from the Pope? So.
Well, something interesting, the Pope.
Well, I mean, I've worked with all kinds of people. I mean, I suppose the most interesting episode was that we're not working with Elton John, in a way, which led to me working with a number of other people for the same thing, which came about in a strange way, in that Elton had his record company, his Rocket Records, and he, I think as a kind of birthday gift for his partner, David Furnish, created Rocket Pictures as a sort of vehicle for doing movies and documentaries. David had directed documentaries in the past. They had this film, which the title promises a lot more than it really ever delivered. It's called Women Talking Dirty. And they had all kinds of stars in it. Anyway, as it transpired, the director, who's a woman called Cokie Goodrich, she sounds like she should have been in a punk band. But anyway, so I had met her in a previous incarnation. I think it would be unkind to say she was a groupie, but she was certainly a girlfriend hanging around one of the bands I was producing for A&M Records at the time, who were this sort of glam threesome called, what are they called? I can't remember, the Mystery Girls. So I'd met her these years before. Anyway, she was going to direct this film. She was directing the film, and she asked if I would write the music, as I'd become a film composer in the interim. So I went down to Rocket Pictures and to meet with her and with David Furnish, and it was all agreed, yes, you're going to do it, blah, blah, blah. And they sorted out a deal. Then about a week later, I got a phone call from David Furnish, and he said, Simon, Elton wants to talk to you, but this is a bit embarrassing, but the production company, they said we can have another £5 million if it could possibly say music by Elton John on the movie. Now, Elton's really embarrassed about it. He's wanted to speak to you about it, but, you know, we wondered if it was at all possible that you could work with him, because he's not that, you know, confident with orchestras and writing film music, which I can tell you he's absolutely not confident doing that. So I spoke to him about it, and I was genuinely very embarrassed, but I thought, well, you know, what can I really do? They're going to get all this more money to make the film. So I said yes, and actually I had a really good time being flown around in helicopters and going, you know, to stay at this place in Nice and going to Windsor and a house in London, everything. So I had, it was quite good fun to do, but, and I have to say, having read certain pages of Elton's recent biography, autobiography, he is a little less than truthful about this whole episode, where he talks about what a great fun it was to be a film composer. Now, basically, the situation was that I was supposed to do this with him, and they were going to say, they're going to put music by Elton John, produced and arranged by Simon Boswell. Okay, which I thought, well, everyone's going to see right through that anyway. So I would normally take 4-6 weeks, more than that, to write a film soundtrack. So I sit there and say, what are we going to do? And he said, well, I can give you a day and a half in the studio. So he flew his sort of keyboard tech guy over from LA to, we were in the townhouse at Branson Studio, set up in there with his Sparky's toy piano, grand piano, which plays itself. He actually has this sort of MIDI piano which he can play, and then he can step away from it and the keys will go on their own, literally. It's extraordinary. But anyway, not so extraordinary these days, but it was back then. So I had been through the film, obviously, and I spent a day and a half with Elton in the studio at that point, saying to him, this is the first cue, really, you know, her husband's left her. She's feeling very sad. So it's kind of sad, sentimental theme. So he sat down at the piano. I'm sure you won't mind me saying this, but and played something that sounded a bit like Candle in the Wind. I thought, well, that's, you know, it's a bit sad. It's a bit right. Like that. And then we move on to, I said, then the pace picks up a bit. And there's a bit, you know, this person gets chased down the street. Candle in the Wind. So in the end, I still have them. I still have a CD of about 25 or 30 pieces which sound like Candle in the Wind. Now, my job was to take elements, bars, whatever, from this, turn it into a film score, orchestrate it for an orchestra, and that's what I did. And all the way through, I'm thinking to myself, well, they've got another £5 million. But if you put out a CD, a Velton instrumental, saying, if you enjoyed the death of Princess Diana, you'll love this record, you know. And you make shitloads more money in this stupid fucking film.
To be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, it was good fun for me. And I just met, you know, as you can imagine, you meet everyone. It's like being in the court of French king. And there came points in it which were really good fun for me.